Good afternoon. I'd like to call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Today is Thursday, May 3rd, 2018. The time is 3:06 p.m. If you're joining us off net or online, we're in Juneau, Alaska, the state capitol, fifth floor, room 532. I'm co-chairman Anna McKinnon. With me this afternoon, co-chairman Hoffman.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Von Imhoff. Vice Chairman Bishop.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Senator Stevens.
Good afternoon,
Madam Chair.
Senator Olson. Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
And Senator Machicki.
Good afternoon.
On today's agenda, we have three items: HB 106, Civil Level Legal Service Fund; HB 76, Mariculture Revolving Loan Fund; and we added to the agenda HB 304, which is the Microloan Revolving Fund. We did that because the department was here today in hopes of postponing it for another day, that we could do everything while they're here with us and not have them need to return to House Senate Finance. Is there anything to come before the committee before we begin? I'd like to direct your attention to House Bill 106, Civil Legal Service Fund. A brief history on this item. On April 23rd, 2018, we heard a presentation and did a sectional analysis on this bill. The public hearing was open and closed. Senator Bishop, we have a CS for the committee to consider.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move committee substitute for House Bill 106, version 30-LS0397/Juliet before the committee as our working document.
I'll object for purposes of understanding the CS. Ms. Lucky, if you could place yourself on the record and please provide us the changes in the CS.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the Senate Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Julie Lucky, and I am staff to Senator McKinnon. The previous time the bill was heard, there was some discussion about the percentage of the filing fees that should be sent to the ALSC. The document in front of you, version J, has increased the percent to 10% of court filing fees, and also has made a technical change on line 9 of the bill that refers to the previously closed fiscal year. That was at the direction and recommendation of our legislative finance team to make clear which fiscal year we were looking at when we took the filing fees. The change in the bill necessitated two new fiscal notes, and those should be in the members' packets, taking the 10% of the previously closed fiscal year, which I believe is FY17, would be an appropriation this year of $300,300, and that is reflected in two fiscal notes. There is one from OMB component number 3051, which is fund transfers, and that would be the transfer to the Civil Legal Services Fund. The FY19 appropriation would be that $300,300, and then the estimates for the out years was just kept at the same amount. There is a second fiscal note that is necessitated for FY19 only, and that is OMB component number 2879. The department is Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. Appropriation is Community and Regional Affairs, and the allocation is Community and Regional Affairs. And you'll see a one-time appropriation of that amount, and then it would go into the base budget for the out years, which is why that fiscal note only has an FY19 number. So that would be the description of the changes in the CS and the implications of that change.
Are there questions from committee members on the structure? I'll withdraw my objection. Is there further objection to adopting CS? Seeing and hearing none, the J version is in front of us. I apologize. Ms. Kubitz, if you'd join us at the microphone and give us comments on the Senate CS.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Lizzie Kubitz, and I'm staff to Representative Matt Kleeman. Representative Kleeman could not be present today, but he sends his appreciation to the committee for the work that's been done and to the committee staff. He is supportive of the changes in the committee substitute. And as Ms. Lucky stated, House Bill 106 would allow the legislature to appropriate up to 10% of the filing fees received by the court system during the previous closed fiscal year to the Civil Legal Services Fund. And we see this as a mechanism toward possibly funding more money to the Alaska Legal Services Corporation that does a lot of great work for our state. And I can answer any questions you may have. And I'll also note that Nicole Nelson, who's the executive director of ALSC, is also online and available for questions.
Ms. Kubitz, we certainly can go to Ms. Nelson. The original bill had a 25% fee associated with it. I like to say we doubled the fee, even though, at least in this instance, and by doubling the fee for Alaskans that are looking at home, we're trying to increase access, and we are designating a larger share of the court receipts in an effort to help individual Alaskans. Ms. Kubitz, so we took it from 5% to 10% in Senate Finance. You had originally had 25%. My understanding was 25% was closer to a number that was previously allocated in general fund dollars to the civil legal services. Is that accurate, or can you help me with that?
Again, for the record, Lizzie Kubitz. I may defer to Nicole Nelson on this. She's been following this bill for many years now. It's gone from various different sponsors. I can say that we are supportive of the 10% compromise that we've found here today in the committee substitute.
Thank you. Ms. Nelson, are you available online? And the public hearing was open and closed, but do you have comments for us on the CS?
Through the record, this is Nicole Nelson. Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, great. Senator McKinnon, to answer what I think is your question, which was there are two things. We have a general appropriation that comes through DCCD, which stands at $450,000 per year. Originally, we had thought that the 25% civil legal services fund bill at 25% of court system filing fees, if that were passed and the fund displaced our current appropriation, that would still provide an increase in revenue and would allow us to expand our services to more Alaskans. However, if at 10%, we really appreciate the committee's compromise, but we would just want to make clear that the intent was not to decrease our current appropriation, which stands at $450,000, but to provide an avenue for future additional revenue in the future at the 10%. Am I making myself clear?
Ms. Nelson, you are. There's an additional appropriation here for $300,000 in a second fiscal note that we have for FY19.
Great. Thank you. That's fantastic.
And that's an effort for committee members to go forward and try to stabilize funding. I would put on the record that it is unusual that we would allocate a state revenue to an individual nonprofit. The compelling argument regarding this issue for this committee has been the outbreak of crime in our state and a need to address that crime and allow individual Alaskans access to legal services. This bill has died many times in the past because we have not wanted to designate a particular dollar amount, I believe, in my recollection, to a nonprofit. But the situation is becoming so bad, and the legislature is not giving up our appropriation authority, but willing to monitor and look at what 10% of the court fees look like and designate those towards legal services. Comments from committee members? Senator Bishop.
Just a quick one. I just think the committee's action is recognizing the need of seniors out there and people with need, and so I'm glad to support the bill.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. We do have from the Governor's Council on Disabilities, Art Delane online. Art, are you there?
Yes, Madam Chair, can you hear me?
We can. Welcome to Senate Finance. And again, the public hearing is closed. But.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Art Gillon, and I am with the Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education. I live in Fairbanks. The Governor's Council on Disabilities and Special Education supports House Bill 106. We feel that it will positively impact Alaska's most vulnerable populations, including individuals with disability. As the State Council on Developmental Disabilities, one of our duties is to provide comments on legislative bills that may have an impact on individual intellectual and or developmental disabilities in their families. For low-income Alaskans with disabilities, legal services are primarily received through nonprofit public interest firms. Without these vital legal services, low-income Alaskans with disabilities could be at risk of losing their home, health care, access to food, or even the ability to be protected from abuse. Such consequences obviously have a disastrous human impact, truly highlighting the imperative need for quality legal service to be available for all those who are in need of them. Without sufficient funding to allow full access to necessary services, individuals could be subject to unfair treatment and would certainly not be able to fully utilize the judicial system. I worked as an independent living advocate for 10 years, assisting people with disabilities and our seniors to live more independently. Affordable legal help was essential to this vulnerable population in order to be independent and successful. Unfortunately, people with disabilities, especially cognitive disabilities, are susceptible to unscrupulous landlords, businesses, and other people both in the community and online, and they need this legal assistance. A clear disparity exists between the available funding for legal services for low-income individuals and the number of individuals of these receiving said services. In the past 30 years, the number of Alaskans below the poverty level has increased, while the total appropriations for such services have decreased. House Bill 106 will be a positive step towards meeting these current needs. Thank you for working to ensure the Alaska judicial system is fully accessible to all the residents of this great state. Thank you for allowing me to testify today.
Thank you, Art. Thank you for your service to our state. Are there questions from committee members? Senator Machicki.
Just a quick statement. I just wanted to talk about all the volunteer work that goes into this organization as well. It's well matched, Madam Chair. Estimated value of volunteer services with attorney volunteers and others was $481,000 last year. But I also believe that the underprivileged should have access to medical care, and their help for seniors and the disabled and veterans has been exemplary. So I do support this bill. I've sponsored it in the past, and I support it coming forward.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Certainly for committee members and those following at home, this is a compromise between the two bodies. It's not what was requested. 25% was requested. It's my hope that at 10% that we can move it through the Senate. But it is a compromised position. Is there anything else? We covered the fiscal note. Ms. Lucky covered the fiscal note when she was at the microphone. Is there any questions on the fiscal notes that we have? Senator Bishop, are we ready for a motion?
Yes, ma'am. I move Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 106, version 30-LS0397/Juliet from committee with the accompanying fiscal notes and committee recommendations.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, the Senate CS for House Bill number 106, Finance, /J, moves from committee. With attached individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. We're back on the record. The next item before us is House Bill 76. It's an act relating to Mariculture Revolving Loan Fund and loans and grants from the fund and providing for an effective date. A brief history on this item. On April 3rd, 2018, we had a presentation of the bill, and we also had a presentation from the Department on Revolving Loan Funds on April 27, 2018. The public hearing on this bill was open and closed. The fiscal notes were covered, and I believe we covered a sectional analysis also. Senator Bishop, may I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move committee substitute for House Bill 76, version 30-LS0343/Mary before the committee as our working document.
I'll object for purposes of understanding what the CS does. Ms. Lucky.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the Senate Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Julie Lucky, and I am staff to Senator McKinnon. The first time the bill was in front of the committee, there was some confusion about loan terms, and it was in the previous section 13 of the bill, and so we worked with the drafter and the sponsor to clarify that intent. It now is on section 12 of the bill on page 5, lines 15 through 28. And I'll just briefly go over, the language is still slightly confusing, but I have double-checked with our legal drafter and the sponsor about the terms for the loans. So if the committee will remember, the current loan fund allows loans to farms, shellfish farms, and the statute for those is not changed. But for the committee's review, I'll just go over very quickly what those terms are. The department cannot require payments for the first 6 years of the loan, and the department has the option of providing that interest does not accrue for the first 6 years, but payments and interest would start in year 7 of that loan. For the new hatchery loans, which as the committee may remember are larger, there are, similar to the farm loans, no payments for the first 6 years, and that is a requirement. For the hatchery loans, there is also no interest for the first 6 years, and that is a requirement. However, the department does have the option of extending both the payment holiday and the interest accrual holiday for a period of up to 11 years. After that first 11 years, interest would accrue and payments would be required by statute. That is actually no change in the CS, but the wording used in the bill was very confusing, and so that has been changed to clarify the intent for both the department and per our legal drafters. The CS, the substantive change in the CS is to remove the authority to make grants from the revolving loan fund. There is concern by some committee members that taking funds out of a revolving loan fund makes them not revolve anymore, and so that grant provision has been taken out of the bill. Since it is no longer in the CS, I can't point you to a page, but it was on previous page 3, lines 8 to 13, and then all references to grants have been removed from the bill. And it is my understanding from the department that will have no impact on the fiscal notes, which were covered in the previous hearing. And that is all the changes to the Senate Finance CS for this bill.
Further questions, concerns? I'll remove my objection to adopting the CS. Is there further objection to adopting the CS? Seeing and hearing none, the Senate CS for the CS for House Bill number 76 Finance is before us, /M. Is Liz Harpole, staff to Representative Ortez, here? Ms. Harpole, if you could give us the sponsor's thoughts on the changes in the CS.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Liz Harpold, staff to Representative Ortez. Madam Chair, Senate Finance Committee members, thank you for hearing House Bill 76 again today. I apologize that Representative Ortez is unable to be here. Representative Ortez supports the changes brought forward in the CS and also wants to thank the committee and staff for working on that committee substitute.
Thank you. Questions from committee members? Would we like the department up? If we could have someone from the department join us at the microphone to talk about the fiscal note and make sure that fiscal note on the record is confirmed as accurate. Ms. Yoni Haywood, your name for the record.
For the record, Brittany Cherney Haywood. I'm the director of the Division of Economic Development. The fiscal note is unchanged from the previous version.
Ms. Young-Hayward, is there anything that we should know? Will the CS in its current form work from a business person's perspective to be able to access additional support in these economic investment opportunities?
Madam Chair, I believe it will. The CS and the bill allow for the hatchery loans to take place, which was the request of the industry, in order to, one of the issues I know is to secure the seed for the farmers. And so that would allow for that possibility to exist, as well as the loans to the farmers that already exist.
Thank you. Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I think we should get this on the record. You know, it's a small fund, $5 million, and a revolving fund. And as we were talking earlier about grants, that would simply reduce the capital that's there to invest in revolving loans. Could you comment, Ms. Haywood, on your concerns? What happens if we keep taking grants out of that fund? How long would you think it could continue with grants being removed from the capital?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens. So the question is, if we take the grants portion out, then how much longer?
Yes, I'd make sure. We've taken the grants out now, right. But I was concerned, as others were, that if we continue the grants, it might lower the or reduce the years that we could actually make use of these loan funds. Could you sort of reflect on that?
Absolutely, Senator Stevens, through the chair. So the grants, as you remove funding, again, it is true that this is a relatively small loan fund at $5 million. So once the money kind of goes out on the street, so to speak, to those mariculture farmers, or if a hatchery loan takes place, then that you would have to wait for those repayments to come back in to kind of replenish the fund in order for it to essentially revolve again. If we're taking that money out in the form of grants, then it doesn't return, so the grant doesn't get repaid. It would be used for what was stated in the bill, I believe was in the enhancement projects, but that would be money that would just, it would reduce that fund from $5 to $4.5 million, essentially.
Well, thank you very much. And I assume that, Ms. Harpole, you said that the sponsor is okay with that, removing the grant portion.
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, that is correct.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Young-Hayward. Thank you, Ms. Harpole.
Thank you.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 76, version 30-LS0343, /Mary from committee with the accompanying fiscal note and committee recommendations.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, the Senate CS for the CS for House Bill number 76, Finance, /M, moves from committee with that attached fiscal note and individual committee recommendation. Brief of these while we sign the paperwork. We're back on the record. The next item before us is House Bill 304, This is an act relating to the Alaska Microloan Revolving Loan Fund and loans from the fund. A brief history on the bill. We heard the Senate finance version of SB 157 on April 10th, 2018. We reviewed the Revolving Loan Fund presentation on April 27th, 2017. We opened and closed the public hearing, and we reviewed the fiscal notes. The only item that our office received as a concern on this bill was the time frame of whether the loans were revolving or not based on the length of the loan that was being proposed in the bill. So the proposal on page 2, lines 2, was moving from 6 to 15 years. We have two different pieces of conversation, and maybe only one is being passed out right now. We have some members who wanted to insert 12 years and some members who wanted to insert 10 years, which is still a four-year increase over the 6 years. So if I could have some committee discussion before we offer amendments. Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm looking at my notes here, and I do recall in our discussion before, I understand the state's perspective of wanting to increase the term from 6 years to something like 15 in order to allow for cash flow to develop in this industry and give time for the borrower to be able to afford the payments on the loan. And sometimes due to the nature of this industry, it takes time. And because they were not having as many borrowers apply, they felt that maybe increasing the term to a longer amortization schedule will allow borrowers the affordability of the loan. And I understand, and I think it's reasonable, but I also think that by the longer the term you extend it out, the higher the risk is in the longer that the state is left holding the loan amount and not being paid back. And so I felt that maybe there was, and I think I stated on the record, a sweet spot between 10 and 15 years. And so there was a discussion of whether maybe it could be 10 years, maybe 11 years, maybe 12 years or something along that line. So that's sort of where we're at, I think. And whether it's 10 years, whether it's 12 years, the more lenient and arguably affordable for the borrower's perspective is 12 years because they have a longer term to pay it back. So that's a better viewpoint for the borrower and potentially maybe for the state because you'll get more borrowers.
Discussion from other committee members. 10 or 12. Senator Michicki.
Madam Chair, I'm okay with 12. When I look at the comparison of the other loan funds, most of them are significantly longer. I think this is an adequate compromise at 12. I think it does reduce the risk somewhat, but hopefully we'll see more use and therefore more economic development out of this particular fund.
Senator Von Imhoff, would you move your amendment?
Yes, I move amendment number 1.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, amendment number 1 passes. If we could invite the department to the table. Ms. Sione Haywood, if you'd state your name for the record. If you could comment on the fiscal note, or I'm sorry, on the amendment and let us know how that affects the department and whether it will affect the fiscal note that we have on the bill.
Madam Chair and committee members, Brittany Choney Haywood. I'm the director for the Division of Economic Development. The amendment, we would be supportive of the amendment. It still allows flexibility within the program, which is what we are requesting, and there would be no changes to the fiscal note.
Are there questions from committee members? We do have Mr. Anderson, the operations manager for the Division of Economic Development, in the audience also, if you have questions. Seeing and hearing none, Senator Bishop.
Brief at ease.
Brief at ease. We're back on the record, Senator Bishop.
Thank you, ma'am. Fiscal note, Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, appropriation is investments, allocation is investments, OMB component number is 383. It's a zero fiscal note. If this legislation were to pass, a reg project would be required at a minimal cost associated, and the minimal cost associated for this project is minimal at best. There is no anticipated fiscal impact to the division by the action of this bill.
Any questions on the fiscal note? Senator Bishop, may I have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move Senate Committee Substitute for House Version 304, Version 30-GH2574/David from committee as amended with the accompanying fiscal note and committee recommendations.
Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, the CS for House Bill Number 304, Finance Version D, an act relating to the Alaska Microloan Revolving Loan Fund and loans from the fund, moves from committee with attached fiscal note and individual committee recommendation. Brief of these while we sign the paperwork. We're back on the record. I was discussing with members a schedule for tomorrow and making sure that that we have a quorum to do business. I will not be here tomorrow morning, so I will hand the gavel over at that time to Senator Bishop. We do have one CS that we expect back before tomorrow morning at 9:30 a.m., and so that is the purpose of the 9:30 meeting. We are trying to work with Legislative Legal on drafting for the next version of the capital budget to be out so that people can, and those at home, can review what we're doing and our work product. With that, tomorrow morning at 9:30 a.m., we're adjourned.